kei te whakarongo koe ki te reo irirangi pōho he parakuihi tēnei. Your 95BFM Breakfast, it's time for our monthly catch-up with the National Party, and we're joined on the line by Minister Paul Goldsmith. Morena.
Morena, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Hello.
Very well.
Cool. Good, I'm glad. There's a lot to talk about. Obviously, you know, a lot of Kiwis are feeling under the pump, no pun intended, by the fuel costs going yes. up. We're soaring past $3 now, and I think there's a lot of people who are feeling quite stressed with their wallet at the moment. We have had the support package announced, which is going to give nearly 150,000 families with children an extra $50 a week to help ease some of the stress from the soaring petrol prices. Are there further plans to support people who fall outside of this bracket?
Not currently. We have, you know, we obviously have to make some clear sort of decisions around how much we can spend and how much we can put into the economy. And so it's been very targeted and temporary to those who really most need it. And so that's why we're focused on working families, recognising that, you know, our options are a little bit constrained, you know, simply because we, you know, as a country, maxed out the credit card, as it were, during COVID. And we just, you know, we do have to be careful that if we just went with the, you know, give money to everybody approach, we risk reigniting inflation, having higher interest rates, and running up against overall debt levels. So that's the challenge. That's how we're trying to thread the needle, get the balance about right.
Mm-hmm. Notably, there's nothing for beneficiaries, superannuants, or those without children in the package. Are you worried about, you know, a huge population of New Zealanders feeling a little bit left out, or, you know, as though the government doesn't care for their financial stresses at this time?
Well, yes. I mean, it would be wonderful to just to give everybody lots of money, and we've done that in the past during COVID, and, you know, we're reaping the consequences for that because there's no magic to this. We have to find that money from somewhere. It's all being borrowed. And you know, there is a real risk. I don't know if you might have seen over the weekend one of the ratings companies put us on a negative down watch. Now, what happens is if we're downgraded because we've got too much debt, you end up having to pay more for the debt, and then you get into real trouble as a country. So that's why, you know, we do actually need to be quite careful about what we spend. And so we're putting an extra 300-odd million potentially in through this package to help those who are most in need. We'd like to be able to help everybody, but we're having to be responsible.
How do we actually measure who's most in need, though? Because, you know, we've had reports from food banks and poverty action groups saying that, you know, the people that are heading into food banks to receive support are families that are already on the benefit and are really struggling. So, yeah, how do we measure that metric of who's struggling the most?
Well, I mean, ultimately, you know, it's primarily around fuel costs, and those people who have to obviously go to work have less options around whether or not they have to pay for that fuel.
But somebody on the benefit, you know, might have to use their car to get to job interviews, to get to trainings. You know, how are we expecting people to get out of relying on the benefit if they're not getting any additional support for, you know, the rising fuel costs?
Yes, look, you know, it's always going to be difficult to explain why you have to make these choices, but as a government, you do have to make choices. You know, we could, as I say, we could offer it to everybody, and that would cost a lot more, and we'd have to borrow a lot more, and that brings risks to the whole country as well in terms of inflation, higher interest rates, and real challenges for us. And so we've decided to be targeted in our approach and focus on working families as the group that we will give the help to, recognising that it's a challenging period for everybody.
Why only families? Why only people with children? Because there's a lot of factors that go into the reasons why people don't have children.
Oh, yes. But in terms of unavoidable costs, we want to ensure that people can get their kids to school and that they can get to work, and they're the ones who've got less options available. Of course, there'll be many instances. You know, it's not a perfect situation. Of course, there'll be many individuals who are struggling in many respects. But as a government, you've got to sort of make broad decisions, and that's why we're focused on this particular group of, you know, about 400,000 or 500,000 people involved with 150,000 families.
If we're looking at a bigger picture here, you know, we're dealing with a fuel supply issue. So if we're giving people more money, we're not necessarily going to do anything about the demand, right? Wouldn't it make more sense to diversify people's options by, you know, encouraging them to use public transport, perhaps subsidising some of those options?
Well, people are making choices. You know, we've seen a big increase in the use of public transport over the last week, and that's what you'd expect. People are, deciding whether to do discretionary travel. If they don't need to, sometimes they don't, or if they go carpooling or they use public transport, people are adapting in many ways, and that's what you'd expect.
Why hasn't the government considered, you know, looking to subsidise public transport first?
Well, we already do. We massively subsidise public transport, but people might not realise, but the amount that people pay for their tickets for public transport is sometimes less than half of the overall cost. So ratepayers and taxpayers already massively subsidise public transport. The Greens, of course, would say to subsidise it even more. That's fine, but somebody has to pay for it. And ultimately, what we're seeing is people are quite voluntarily choosing to turn more to public transport, and that's appropriate and right, and we'll see that happening more and more.
Yes, but back to my original question of, you know, the issue of supply and demand, giving these families more money isn't necessarily going to do anything to encourage people to look for options outside of spending money on petrol, right?
Well, I mean, our approach, of course, is not to tell people what they have to do, is to give them the extra resources that they need to deal with a real crunch that we're facing. So people will make their choices about what's the best way to deal with the situation. And, Kiwis are adaptable and clever, and they'll make the most of what is a very difficult global situation. I think everybody can see that it's these are global events that we can't control. We hope and pray that it's resolved as quickly as possible so that we can get back to a normal situation. But we're just having to work our way through what is a tricky area. And the difficulty is that we have less room for manoeuvre than we did a few years back. Although, the last couple of years, we've really tried to be quite disciplined with our spending. And so we're in a better situation than we were a couple of years ago, but we're still, under pressure as a country.
Yeah, and, on that sort of helping to support our most vulnerable communities, is there any consideration about rolling back the cuts to the total mobility subsidies and support for people who have disabilities and need extra funds for getting around?
That's something that can be considered, but it's not something that we're dealing with right at the moment. I mean,
well, it's set to come into place in July, right?
Well, benefits, of course, will increase on the 1st of April as part of the normal CPI adjustment. So beneficiaries and super annuitants will have some benefit, and also student loans. So there will be some increase on the 1st of April. It's a challenging period for everybody. And, we've got a budget coming up at the moment, which we're trying to wrangle our way through. And, we're now having to spend potentially 300 odd million for this package as part of that. So that's all of those discussions have got harder. So, we've got a difficult period, but we're very confident that New Zealand will get through this well. We're acting in a careful, considered and deliberate way. We're working very hard to focus on the supply of petrol and diesel coming into the country, and that's going to be challenging over the next little while. So that's a huge focus for us. And we've put aside some money to help particularly working families, and because we feel that they're the squeezed kind of middle who are really not eligible for benefits, raising kids and modest household incomes. And that's the focus that we've got.
Yeah, let's talk about this, what it will cost, because $373 million if it runs for a full 12 months. You've been saying that it's funded through a new spending earmarked for the government's May budget. Should we be expecting cuts to other social services to pay for this?
What happens is that in every budget there's an allowance for new spending. I think it's to a couple of billion dollars. And so everybody, if you want to come up with extra spending in the budget, you've either got to find savings somewhere else or there's that allowance right across government. And now, of course, the 300 odd million comes out of that allowance, and so it makes those discussions more difficult, but we've still got some headroom, and you know, that's what the budget's about. You can either sort of stick to a process to try and get us back towards surplus, which is what we're trying to do. We're still about 3 or 4 years away from doing that, but it's important, otherwise we just keep on adding to our debt, and that just sends the problem down to the next generation to deal with. And, you know, we're not prepared to do that forever. We don't think it's right to, you know, for young people to have to be saddled with debt because the previous generation couldn't manage their spending properly and couldn't live within their means. And that's why it's absolutely the right thing to do.
Just finally, before we let you go, I'd like to touch a little bit on what's happening over in Iran, particularly in the Hormuz Strait. There's been some discussion from NATO surrounding, you know, countries that are willing to working together to implement Trump's vision of making sure the Strait of Hormuz is free and opening it up as soon as possible. They've named New Zealand in that. If we get asked to contribute resources to securing the Hormuz Strait, what will we do?
Well, if we're asked, then the Cabinet would be considering that and would make a decision. I wouldn't want to speculate on that. It's not, you know, I'm not the Minister of Defence, but, yeah, that's something that we'd obviously give very careful thought to and would make a decision if we were asked in a particular way.
So we don't currently have a response planned if that were to happen?
We haven't got any response announced at this stage, and if we did, you'd be the first to know.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Minister, for your time this morning. Lovely to catch up with you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Minister.